When you talked to Troy and he had some ups and downs, was there any time he wondered whether this was going to fail or not?
Good question. I never posed that question quite that directly. But I really thought, well, one, let me explain that Troy never foresaw Sonic being 3,600 stores. Not in his wildest imagination. Troy was pretty much a conservative businessman. Originally, Charlie Pappy was the risk taker. Yeah, let's get out on that little small limb, and maybe that'll hold our weight. And if it breaks through, we'll have a soft landing, and we'll get back up, dust ourselves off, start again. He had gone bankrupt. Troy was unwilling to go out onto that little small limb. He would go out on a limb, of course. Any entrepreneur, anybody succeeds in free enterprise, is willing to do that. And so he was willing to take that risk, but within reason. He saw Sonic as a regional company. He saw himself as creating the centralized part of the business plan without owning all of these stores. And he knew that real estate was going to be real estate at the end of the day. He knew that that kitchen with two canopies was a single-purpose investment. Well, if that goes bankrupt, what are you going to do with it? It's not an asset anymore. You have to tear it down to do. But that land may have started with $1,000 value. It's still going to have $1,000 value at the end of the day. A little more conservative approach. So I don't think he did. He had faith in himself. Very confident man. He was a big man. I guess 6'2" or 3", I don't know. We all shrink in age. But he was a big man originally, could take care of himself. I have one story. We're at the Cottage Cafe, about 80% of his business was on credit. And that day, if you went to the grocery store in 1953, you were running a tab. At the end of the month, you got your paycheck, you go in, you pay the bill, same thing at a restaurant. People would sign their bill. Yeah, I just spent 55 cents at the restaurant. Well, some guy skipped town owing him like 50-some, I think it was $55. And Troy, of course, was watching the pennies, not just the dollar. Well, 55 bucks was huge to him. He heard the rumor the guy was back in town, and he had done well in the oil patch, and he had a wad full of bills he was flashing out at the bars the night before. Troy finds out where he's staying in the motel. He goes, knocks on the door. The guy looks, and he pushes the door open, pushes the guy on the bed. Big guy holds him down with one arm, gets his billfold out, takes out $55. He says, thanks for paying your bill. Well, that's a confident guy, and that's a guy who's willing to take care of business. So he was tough to stand up to the pressures, to say, these headwinds are really slowing us down. Is this really going to be a future? But he was willing to double down, to take a risk within reason, and found the people like Charlie Pappy, Marvin Gyrus, willing to take a similar risk and investing in that next store, making the business, learning the next series of lessons, applying that to the old problems, looking for the new opportunities, changing demographics, and dealing with the changes as any business does. I don't think he really ever had the fear that it would go bankrupt, that he would have a good landing and that it would be okay.
Yeah. Some Sonics reached $1 million in less than 100 days. Amazing. Went from $1 billion, according to your book, in 1997 to $2 billion in 2001 and to anticipated $4 billion in 2010, all on flipping burgers. Isn't that amazing?
It is. It's a great story. It's a personal story of leadership, of teamwork, of adaptive practices, of being open-minded, of really watching your environment, never getting behind, never being reactive, but being proactive. You know, fits and starts, that system has worked all these years.
All because of good food, fast service, a partnership structure, shared responsibility, and shared profits. Pretty simple.
There you go.
Yeah. In many cases, the branches of the Sonic family consisted of son and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters. Isn't that interesting? And they had the ability to embrace the times from the 70s to the 90s. They had to learn to change. So the company today still operates on the basics of Troy Smith. And Cliff Hudson was going to make sure that all happened to this very day. Well, all of Oklahoma should be proud of this story of Sonic. How would you think we should remember Troy Smith?
Troy Smith, he was formed out of the dirt of Oklahoma, literally. You know, his dad was digging in the dirt, looking for oil. So he came out of the soil of Oklahoma, which is his experience of diversity. We've all come from someplace else into this one place we call Oklahoma, starting with the Indian tribes, removed from someplace else. Then there come these desperate families starving out, in my case, starving out in South Carolina, then Arkansas or Texas or Kentucky, coming here looking for opportunity. And then looking at the situation and just being tough enough, willing to work hard enough to know that we've got to work together. I hear these people today saying we can go this alone, that it's this rugged individualism. That's BS. Oklahoma's story of people learning to work together and to help each other, that we're all in this together. If we can, you know, finding the greatest good for the greatest number of people, we lose sight of that too often in Oklahoma politics anymore. But that's where we started. And Troy Smith comes out of this culture. And it's a mobile culture. Errol Gibson once wrote an essay for me when I was editor. Errol Gibson being the great distinguished historian at OU, many books. But Errol said the defining nature of Oklahomans is mobility. We've been willing to pick up and leave and go over here. If it's not working, we pick up and go over there. Whether it's a radio broadcaster coming south to Oklahoma, to Tulsa, or it's a Bob Wills coming out of Texas to Tulsa, or a Bob Blackburn's family saying we're starving out in Arkansas in 25 and let's go over and lay pipeline for Oklahoma natural gas. You know, this mobility is there. Troy Smith came out of that culture of mobility and recognized it, learned how to deal with it. And then when you have a chance to tap into that mobility with a, quote, drive-in, where people are driving, it was a natural for him, embracing a man like Charlie Pappy, recognizing the brilliance of the man, his salesmanship, recognizing the talent of a young man like Marvin Gyrus, of recognizing he needed a corporate attorney like a Cliff Hudson, anticipating where things were going. Preparing, getting the team together, being tough enough to fight through the hard times, and willing to share the benefits that's adding to motivation, being willing to share credit. Troy would be the first to say, I didn't build Sonic, we built Sonic. Cliff Hudson would be, if you read his new book, that's really for business leaders, it's not, I did not do this, we did this. And Cliff, just like Troy, was proud of the diversity of the workforce, proud of the diversity of the people investing their time and their talents and plugging into the motivation to become a Sonic person and finding a way to generate wealth, to create a business they're proud of, to give back to the community, creating jobs, creating wealth. Troy was very satisfied with where that started. Cliff is very pleased with where that went. And the business model has been consistent since the very beginning.